In Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of November 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Happy birthday to my magnificent mother-in-law, Carol Gorman. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Dave Dickey will take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon, and we'll hear how soybeans are in a sideways trade. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G. .org.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December soft red up 3/4 at 6:37 3/4. July down 3.5 at $7.01. Hard red in Kansas City at 7:48 1/4. Down 4 1/4 for the day. December corn futures at $6.55 3/4, up 2 1/4. March at $6.66 1/4, 2.5 higher. The May at $6.73 1/4, 3 3/4 higher. And July futures, $6.78 1/4, up 3 cents. December contract in the corn pit, $6.12 3/4, up 1 1/2 cents. November bean futures lost 6 3/4 today at $12.12 1/2 for their settlement price. January at $12.21, down 6 1/4. The March at $12.30, 6 1/2 lower. And May beans at $12.39 1/4, down 6 cents. July $12.47 1/2, 5 1/4 lower. November beans at $12.30 for next year, down 6 3/4 for the 2012 contract. December bean meal at $3.15.40, 90 cents higher. December bean oil at $51.87, down 16 cents. Live cattle futures finished the December contract at $124.50, unchanged. February futures $125.90, down 22.5. November feeder cattle at $142.57.5, up 52.5. And the January futures unchanged at $147.40. December lean hog futures $86.85 per 100 pounds. Finished the day 25 cents higher. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. December crude oil futures, $94.27 a barrel, up 20 cents. Ethanol at 267 and 4/10 of a cent. That's a penny and 7/10 lower. Natural gas at 379 and 3/10, up a penny and a half. Heating oil or diesel fuel, 3 cents higher at $3.06 and 8/10 of a cent. And the gold futures on the day, down $8.90 an ounce at $1,755.30. The Dow now at 11,964, down just about 80 points. The dollar at 76.97, that's up 0.29. The CRB index at 320.44, up 0.43 on the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area, as it comes from the National Weather Service, says this afternoon we'll see sunny skies, a high of 54 degrees, east-northeast winds at about 9 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 32, east-southeast winds at about 7 miles an hour. Saturday should show us sunny skies, a high of 60 degrees, south-southeast winds between 7 and 10. And Saturday night, mostly clear, a low of 42 degrees, south-southeast winds at about 11 miles an hour. On Sunday, the skies will be mostly sunny, a high of 62, breezy, and south wind between 13 and 21 miles an hour, with a gust as high as 29 miles an hour. And then on Monday, a 50% chance of showers, cloudy, a high near 50 degrees for Monday afternoon. When we get to Tuesday, we'll see showers. It'll be cloudy, a high near 64. Tuesday night showers likely, a cloudy and a low of 48. And on Wednesday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a high of 52 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 36. By the time we get to Thursday of next week, mostly sunny skies and a high near 48 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Jim Angel. He's the Illinois State Water Survey climatologist. It is a Friday afternoon. Time to check now the agricultural futures markets. On the phone line with us to do that is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It has been a busy week. And in the commodity markets, we've had a couple of things happening. MF Global, of course, and its demise. And that's been related, of course, to Greece. What'd you see?
I thought that the overall close this week, Todd, was constructive given what was thrown at the market. I think those two primary issues, and even today when we saw the G20 announce that there weren't going to be hardly any countries that added any money to that bailout fund, the EFSF over in Europe, when that came across the wires, I thought, oh gosh, not another mini Greece referendum. And the markets handled that and digested it fairly well. It was still one of those risk-off days. And what you see in those risk-off days in the last 3 weeks has been, generally speaking, the beans take it in terms of the hit in price the hardest. Usually when you have the risk-off days, from what I've seen, you buy the corn and sell the beans if you're a trader. And it seems like the corn and the wheat hold up better on the risk-off days. When it's a risk-on day like yesterday, the crude oil and the currencies tend to lift the beans, and the speculation seems to be more prominent in the bean complex. But going back today, I felt like technically and for the week technically, all of the major moving averages in the commodity index charts that I follow were able to hold on a weekly close. The only thing that I saw was the 20-day continuation moving average for beans did fail on a weekly close. That concerns me a little bit, but I'll give it a pass as we head into next week's report.
Can I ask you about some definitions? Because we use, many of our analysts use risk on and risk off. Those are terms that come from the financial markets. And do you know how long they might have been around? And are they simply related to black box trade that says today it looks like we're going to be buying risk, and maybe when we're at risk off, it's today where the black box tells us we're going to sell off our risk and we're going to liquidate some of our positions.
Yeah, my mindset and the opinion I would give you is that this risk on, risk off, macro, micro language and linguistics that we use now really came as a result of 2008 and 2009. And when we talk about risk off, I think primarily what we're talking about is the equities market suffer, the crude oil and the copper tend to suffer, but especially what you note is the bonds and the dollar go up together, and typically that's not what you're used to seeing. If you have a healthy market and the trade is excited and the funds want to buy into the riskier assets, you tend to see the stocks and the commodities move up, the dollar move down, and the bonds just kind of float, and not a real sharp move one way or the other until you hit certain interest rates. So my general basic definition is a risk-off trade is when the dollar especially takes in a lot more buying and the bonds do as well. And recently what we've seen is gold has done that too. So, but whenever we see that dollar buying come in strong, it usually triggers a weaker Brazilian real, and it usually triggers a weaker crude oil trade. The Brazilian real hits the beans. The crude oil tends to hit the beans through the back door in the form of the bean oil market getting hit with it.
More than a month ago, on many of our shows, we were talking about Greece, and we have been for a very long time, but we were talking about Greece and whether it mattered very much anymore, simply because it appeared that the agricultural marketplace, the commodities, had decided that fundamentals were just as important, though that they could be moved directionally in an intraday type of trade,
right,
by what was happening in Greece. Is that what you saw this week? And I'm thinking mostly of today when we didn't really react very much in the commodity markets to the G20 saying, we can't figure out how to put more money into this system.
Well, I think the big thing that I noticed with Greece, and yes, it is still a concern, and I had a really good conversation with a client near Alney yesterday, and he said, I'm just storing my corn and beans. I'm not going to mess with these outside markets and let them move me and shake me in the short term. And I think, generally speaking, that's probably the right thing to do. But when you bring up something like the Greek referendum, there is pretty much a straight line that if the Greeks would have denied the EU package that was just voted on last week, the EU probably would have kicked the Greeks out of the EU. That tailspins them into a hard default. That then tailspins the banks that own Greek debt into being underwater with all that Greek debt, and probably their balance sheets are not able to handle that, especially with that emergency bailout fund not being built up yet by China or Europe or Japan or the United States. So what it really boils down to and how it really affects what we hold in the bins is it goes back to the existence of the euro currency, the existence of the European Union. And I would say to you, at the end of this week, the bailout fund is really what we want to keep our eyes on, Todd. If we can't get the bailout fund leveraged up and bonds sold to other countries and bring in money from the outside world, not just European countries building up that fund, it's probably less likely to give us stability if something would happen. And if Greece does still go to default, which is very, very likely, it just depends on when, that probably will drag Italy into default. And if Italy goes into default, then France is probably due for a credit downgrade. So you bring up the whole issue again of the dollar, and you bring up the whole issue of the euro. Maybe the euro currency survives under that circumstance, but the dollar becomes, in my view, similar to 2008, a big, big safe haven and a really rough ride for commodity traders, producers, anybody that's in the commodity business to want prices to go higher, especially with high cash rents and high fertilizer prices. It could be a rough ride for 3 to 6 months like we saw in 2008, and that's really why I deal with it so heavily and why it's such a big part of the analysis now.
So if the bailout fund is that important to you, are you surprised that the G20's inaction didn't move the market more than it did today?
Yes, I am. I think we're at a point right now where there's been so much information thrown at the market, they don't know where to start, and it's going to take time to digest it. But one of the things that really interested me was a news story from Reuters that came out yesterday, and assets managed in commodities were down in September because basis points for what they deal with in terms of lines of credit for short-term money, those jumped up above 300 or 400 basis points or above 3 to 4%. That trigger of higher interest rates on their short-term money caused them to deleverage and pull money out of their positions. It was like an automatic margin call because their short-term interest rate went up. That's directly related to Europe as well. And here again, there's kind of a footprint of what happened in 2008 when liquidity froze, credit froze. All of a sudden, these companies that rely on short-term money, i.e. banks and i.e. private investment funds and hedge funds who use commercial paper to fund their positions, they automatically got a higher margin call through higher interest rates. So I think there's that tendency still there as well.
That sounds a little scary to me that you've got an interest rate going up, and that you told me just stems the flow of money to some extent, right?
It does. It has to.
And it's inflationary
yeah, it
in the
to.
Process.
I'm sorry?
And it's inflationary in the process too?
Well, not necessarily, because if you have the markets fall back, in other words, commodity prices fall because more funds are liquidating because of this interest rate, this credit, what they borrow their money on goes up, and the commodities actually fall, then that actually works in favor of the Federal Reserve saying, hey, we don't have an inflation problem. In fact, liquidity is so tight and getting tighter that we may be in deflation, so we're going to keep pressing on the gas pedal of keeping monetary policy very loose all the way through to mid-2013. I think that's where the Fed sits still today.
All right, so come back to corn and soybeans, and you say storing them, putting them in the bin, wherever that might be the case, I guess.
Whether yes.
Is it both elevator and home, and that's the right thing to do? What are you looking for that tells you when to make the sales?
Yeah, if you have the puts in place, I think it's the right thing to do. When you come back to the cash sales, it really goes back to next week's report. The outside markets are the outside markets, but if I would see a substantial decline in the export demand on corn and or beans next week on USDA's report, that would open the door up for more downside, especially in the beans, because the South American progress and the planting and the potential there seems to be growing week after week after week. So next week, and Dave and I talked about the seasonals. The seasonals are not healthy and friendly for the corn, especially as we get into the later part of November. So I'm really trying to thread a needle that the short-term technicals look friendly, the commodity index charts look friendly. If the financials hold together, funds should want to come in and buy, and if we don't have a negative report, that should give the green light to do that. But you're walking on thin ice when you try and play that as tight as you do. So you have to watch the technicals, and you have to get what you want out of the USDA report, or I'm going to turn quickly into a very aggressive seller again.
Yeah, November reports usually are pretty blah. Who knew, David? I'll be in the vehicle headed towards Kansas City on that day. It'll be interesting to see how we can get back information for the radio program, because it will be here. It'll be a fun day. But are you expecting really any big changes from USDA?
Well, Dave and I talked about this morning. I'd really like to see the world wheat numbers come down, because I think that really hurt the upside potential or the recovery potential in corn and beans last month in the October numbers, and we went above that 200 million metric ton ending stocks number. I think we have a chance of doing that. The ag attaché dropped Argentina. They dropped Brazil. We've got a Western Australian rains. We've got the Southern Plains. We've also got more questions about the Ukraine and how much of that crop is under drought. We'll see if they move on that early or not, and if they do move on that and drop back below 200 million metric tons, I think that gives the upside potential in corn and beans a lot more room. But the key with the report from the people I talked to in Chicago and looking at the analytical side of it, looking at the numbers, is you don't want to lose any more demand, because that would then start a trend, I think, in the trade's mind, and that would then open up the downside in prices. And those old lows that we had based upon those outside market fundamentals could become old, you know, lows that we move back to based upon the micro fundamentals.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
You too. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Don't forget about Commodity. We will record that at 4:30 today. Our guest, Roy Huckabee of the Lynn Group. Commodity Week posted to willag.org. That's willag.org by about 6 o'clock this evening.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Now here's your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, with today's Agricultural News.
In Agricultural News, group of 20 nations have agreed to move rapidly towards flexible exchange rates in a draft action plan for growth that adopts stronger language on currency rates than previous statements by the Club of Leading Economies. The draft, which went to G20 leaders for final approval at today's summit, also mentions China by name for the first time in the context of greater currency flexibility. But the G20 today also failed to agree on how to increase the firepower of the International Monetary Fund so that it can help stem the European debt crisis. The leaders struggled to reach concrete resolutions at their summit that had focused on Greece's political turmoil and worries about Italy that are threatening the world economy. European and non-European countries disagree on how to better use the IMF. Traditional allies like the U.S. are wrestling with their own problems, and Eurozone countries are looking to the IMF to use its resources and rescue experience to help prevent the debt crisis from spreading to large economies like Italy and Spain. House Agriculture Committee Ranking Member Colin Peterson says a new U.S. farm law would wipe out traditional crop subsidies except for a program that assures grain, soybean, and cotton growers of a minimum return on their crops. Revenue protection, assuring growers of a guaranteed portion of their usual crop revenue, would become the new base of the U.S. farm program in the plan being drawn by the four leaders of the House and Senate Agriculture Committees. It would be a fundamental change for farm supports that date from the Depression era. Subsidies are now triggered by low prices and offer no aid for poor yields. Proponents say revenue protection is the best approach for the volatile market prices and high production costs that now face farmers. The organization ePure, the trade association for the European ethanol industry, is calling on the European Commission to investigate imports of fuel ethanol from the U.S. to see whether the EC should impose duties on the imports. ePure claims that between 2008 and 2010, imports of U.S. ethanol jumped more than 500% and are now forecast to double just between last year and this year. A decision by the EU whether to reject the complaint or start an investigation is due out in late November. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You can always find us online if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find everything from our pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. It's all part of the service right here in Urbana-Champaign from Illinois Public Media. Now up next, you know the price of soybeans is in something of a sideways trading pattern. The price of soybeans seem a bit stuck to University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good. The fundamental structure of the market is a bit unsure, too, but not particularly unstable. That is to say, there seems to be enough soybeans to go around, and the demand pace is mostly predictable, but slower than in years past.
We think that the marketing year has started with a pretty slow crush pace. Exports are moving well below what we had at this time last year, although admittedly, last year was unusual in that China was buying and shipping soybeans very aggressively, very early in the marketing year last year.
But China has been neither an early or aggressive buyer of soybeans in this marketing year. Still, it's only just begun. One reason for the, let's call it, lazy trade, though it still moves pretty frequently, may be the good start to the growing season in South America. Again, here's Daryl Good.
We've got good weather conditions in South America as they're planting the crop there. So you don't sense the kind of overall tightness in soybeans, even though the balance sheet says we're going to be pretty tight. We don't feel that right now in the market. Exports pretty slow, crush pretty slow, and so the market is really not bidding up to get soybeans to flow to the market right now.
Well, the balance sheet Daryl Good mentioned is produced by the United States Department of Agriculture. It's currently predicting about 160 million bushels of soybeans will be left over from this year's supply by the time we get to next fall. It's a pretty small figure. USDA suggests the cash price of soybeans will be in a $2 range, from $12.15 to $14.15 a bushel. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Time now on this Friday afternoon to check the cash grain market on the phone line with us. Bruce Bostard, he's at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. Hi, Bruce.
Hello.
I bet you're not too busy there today, is that right?
We are real spotty. We pretty much finished up at Ludlow. We have some locations that will still be running this weekend, though.
Bases are still hot?
Basis is hot. We picked up 2 cents on corn since last Friday. Beans switched from the Nove to the Jan, and in the transition picked up another 2 or 3 cents.
And your expectation is for it to stay hot?
I think it stays in there at least for a while we try and get some additional coverage on out here, wrap up the last of harvest and the dispositions on grain. The market right now is trying to encourage the cash to move, so that's what we're seeing.
And your bids for the day?
We are at $6.59 on nearby corn and $11.99 on the soybean.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us on a Friday afternoon. We'll say goodbye now to some of our radio stations. For the rest of you, stay with us. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Candy Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1841, Benjamin Goodrich was born. An American industrialist, he founded Goodrich II & Company in Akron, Ohio in 1870. A decade later, the company became known by its more familiar name, B.F. Goodrich. The company was known for a number of innovations, including adding carbon to the rubber to improve tire wear, and the invention of the first synthetic rubber tires in 1937. Also in 1841, the first wagon train arrived in California. In 1873, Anthony Iski was issued a patent for a meat slicing machine. It worked much like a mandolin, with a frame to hold the meat while sliding it against the blade. In 1879, James and John Ritty invented the first cash register. They came up with the idea to prevent bartenders from stealing at the Pony House restaurant in Dayton, Ohio. The first model looked like a clock, but instead of the hands indicating hours and minutes, they indicated dollars and cents. Also in 1879, inventor Thomas Elkins received a patent for a refrigerating machine which could be used to cool food. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. On the phone line, Jim Angel, Illinois State Climatologist, to take a look at the weather forecast for the weekend and next week. Thanks so much, Jim, for doing that. Start with the weekend and tell me what it looks like, please.
Yes. Hi, Todd. Yeah, this weekend looks great. Lots of sunshine, highs during the day. It looks like in the low 60s. Kind of chilly in the morning, like we like it this time of year, down in the 30s and down around 40 on Saturday night. So maybe a little chilly, maybe see a little frost tomorrow morning, but it'll warm up nicely during the day. Lots of sunshine, but you better enjoy it while you can, because come Sunday night and into Monday, it looks like the next system's going to roll through, big slow-moving low-pressure system. Probably will stick around through Tuesday, and in the meantime, drop maybe another half inch to an inch or more of rain. So another bout of rain, but then after that, it'll clear up, probably be a little bit cooler, but still close to the seasonal averages that we'd expect for this time of year. So highs in the 50s, lows in the 30s.
You look back for us, please, at the month of October and tell us how it compared to normal.
Yes, October was turned out to be dry across the state. We were right at about 1.8 inches, which is almost a full inch below normal. And that's not such a bad thing for this time of year. It really helped with the harvest. Temperatures were pretty close to normal. Statewide average was 55 degrees, which is 0.5 degrees above average. So right on the mark in that case.
And then look forward at the month of November. Tell us what it's usually like, please.
Yeah, November, you know, it's a big month of change. We start out with fairly mild temperatures, but highs in the 50s and 60s, and then as we get towards the end of the month, it's more like highs in the 40s, and by the end of the month, it's usually consistently cold with the nighttime lows dropping below freezing pretty much all the time. We usually see our first dose of snow, especially in the northern part of the listening area, by the end of November, so it's a big transition month.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today, Jim.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is the Illinois State Climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey. That's located right here in Urbana-Champaign on the U of I campus. Joins us here on this Friday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Hey, well, that wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can find a whole bunch of things. All of our agricultural programming is posted not long after we air it on our radio stations. In fact, Commodity Week goes up there before we ever put it on a radio station. It'll be posted by about 6 o'clock this evening. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.